In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
And sisters, I love to quote the church fathers, especially the early fathers of the church. And I want to share with you two quotes from St. Ignatius of Antioch, who was born about the year 35 AD and reposed in 108. St. Ignatius of Antioch says, "Do not neglect the 40 days. It constitutes an imitation of Christ's way of life." It's remarkable that St. Ignatius of Antioch, who was a disciple of St. John the Theologian, he was made a bishop by the Apostle Peter in Antioch, that he speaks about these 40 days, 40 days of Great Lent, 40 days that we're preparing to enter into. These 40 days have been with us in the church since the very beginning, because, as St. Ignatius says, they constitute an imitation of Christ's way of life, who, as we know, fasted for these 40 days. St. Ignatius speaks about Christ so beautifully as the God-man. He says, "Being bodiless, he took a body. Being unable to suffer, he assumed flesh capable of suffering. Being immortal, he was found in a mortal body. Being life itself, he became subject to corruption. That he might free our souls from death and corruption and give us life. That he might restore us to health when we were diseased with ungodliness and wicked passions." St. Ignatius speaks to us about Christ as the great healer, the great not only source of life, but source of resurrection, the one who restores man to communion with God and through him with one another. In these preparatory Sundays, as we get ready to enter into the great fast, we have different commemorations that help us establish the right starting point for these 40 days. Zacchaeus was last Sunday. Today, the publican and the Pharisee, which we'll speak about. Next Sunday, the prodigal son. Then, the dread judgment. And finally, the expulsion of Adam and Eve from paradise on Forgiveness Sunday. The first three of these preparatory Sundays speak to us about the great passions that man suffers from, these wicked, ungodly passions that St. Ignatius speaks about. Zacchaeus suffered from greed, love of money and power. Today we hear about the publican and the Pharisee, and we hear about the ugliness of pride. Next Sunday, the prodigal son, that of pleasure-seeking, hedonism. And of course, for these three great passions that cause so much suffering in our world and in ourselves, the church gives three therapies: for greed, almsgiving; for pride, prayer; and for pleasure-seeking, fasting. Almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. For greed, pride, and pleasure-seeking. The next two Sundays commemorate the two great events in the history of the world in reverse order. Great and final judgment is the last event in the history of the world. And the first event was the creation of Adam and Eve in paradise and their fall. Because Lent becomes for us a microcosm of our entire life. Lent is that journey that we undergo from the fall to incorporation into the kingdom that knows no end on that last day. And all five of these preparatory Sundays have the same theme, same overarching theme, that of repentance, change, transformation, if you will, resurrection. A return to God who is life, following and in Christ as an imitation of his way of life. Great Lent is a beautiful time. We must not neglect these 40 days. Now to the subject at hand, the publican and the Pharisee. I want to begin with something that I enjoy with my children, and that's watching movies. I enjoy watching films. Sometimes the newer ones, sometimes films that I watched when I was their age. One thing that I've noticed is that they do the same types of things that I used to do. And one of them is when you're watching a film about some superhero or some great person who saves the day, they'll sometimes shout out, "I'm that guy. I'm that guy." I used to do that too. Maybe some of you have done that. You watch Superman, "I'm that guy," or He-Man, She-Ra, the Marvel characters, all those. We kind of identify with the best people in movies. And there's something very good about this, because it's these superheroes who break free from the ordinary. They break the bonds of the mundane life, and they do extraordinary things, marvelous, wonderful works. And we should aspire to that. And it's great to see our children aspire to that. But as we get older, life slowly teaches us that we are actually not that guy. Right? We either can come to the realization that perhaps we're not the hero, but maybe even the villain. Or most likely we arrive at the conclusion that we're actually just one of the extras in the movie. Like as they scroll the credits, we're like the last guy on the list, perhaps. We're the last and the least of all. It's actually not a bad place to be, thinking yourself as the last and the least of all. But it's important that we never lose sight, when we consider ourselves last, that we're called to great things. That we're called to something that is superhuman, supernatural. We're called to communion with God. When we watch the movies, we try to figure out who we might want to be, or who we are. And these are questions for real life too. Who do we think we are in life? Who do we aspire to be? These are questions that maybe the publican and the Pharisee were asking themselves, or should have been asking themselves, in today's parable. You know, we see the contrast, right? I hope we see that between the publican and the Pharisee. The Pharisee, let's talk about him first. He did all the right things. He had the prayer, he had the fasting, he had the almsgiving. And he had all of that. He was the best, the most righteous that the Old Testament people could put forward. And then you look at the publican. He was actually the opposite. He did all of the wrong things. He became a traitor even to his own race, working for the Romans, taxing the people, and stealing from the people. He was a sellout. He was a traitor. He was a villain. And the Pharisees were the heroes for the Old Testament people. But as the Lord says, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Sometimes things are flipped. The message today, he who humbles himself shall be exalted, and he who exalts himself shall be humbled. At the end of the day, the end of the parable, who do you want to be? You want to be the Pharisee, or do you want to be the publican? Or put another way, how do we see ourselves? Are we the Pharisee or are we the publican? As a little test, this is only a test, I want you to pause for a moment and think in your mind about our community, our temple. We all came here today. Think in your mind. Don't say it out loud. Don't, please. Who's the Pharisee here? Who's the publican in our midst? Now, without saying who you're thinking of, think about why this or that person came to your mind. Was it because we see the best in others and the worst in ourselves, or the best in ourselves and the worst in others? Did we identify someone in our community who does all of the right things, but we think is somehow prideful about it? Did we identify someone who does all the wrong things, and comes here begging for repentance because they really need it? Or did we perhaps think, you know, maybe I'm the one who comes here as the Pharisee, thinking that I'm so righteous? And that's the very reason I should be kneeling on the floor, not lifting my eyes up to heaven, beating my breast and saying, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Perhaps that would be the best case scenario, right? In what we thought in our minds. And maybe there's some who did that. Don't raise your hands. We don't want to make you conceited or anything like that. But if you did that, you might be thinking, yes, Father, yeah, I do that. This is not my first rodeo. I've been through the preparatory Sundays. I know what Lent is about, right? I know what the church is about. I already do that. Thank God I'm not like these other chumps who don't. And then, of course, we are like everyone else, right? In the Ladder of Divine Ascent, St. John Climacus records in this chapter about pride, a conversation between an elder and his disciple. And the disciple tells the elder, you know, I've got my faults, but one of them isn't pride. I know my sins. I don't have pride as an issue. And the elder says, what better proof of pride could you have given than the claim that you are not proud? We're about to set out on these 40 days of change, transformation, resurrection, repentance. We're about to set out on this time where we imitate the life of Christ. It's the very beginning. And I want to share with you another quote, this one from Father Seraphim Rose, who was not alive at the time of the apostles, but he's a contemporary, live at our time. He speaks to us about where to begin. He says, don't criticize or judge other people. Regard everyone else as an angel. Justify their mistakes and weaknesses, and condemn only yourself as the worst sinner. This, he says, is step one in any kind of a spiritual life. Step one. Regard everyone else as an angel and condemn ourselves as the worst sinner. Lent is a hard time, brothers and sisters. It's a difficult one. There are many challenges beyond the prayer, the fasting, and the almsgiving. Challenges with interpersonal relationships. When we come to the temple, when we come here, the worst place we could be is when we come here thinking we're an angel and the others are demons. The best place we can be is we come thinking we're a demon in the presence of angels. That's the type of Lent that we want. And of course, that attitude of humble-mindedness is what we're called to cultivate in today's lesson, and which the life of Christ calls us to cultivate all the time. Now, we spoke about Christ in the quote from St. Ignatius, who was bodiless, who took a body, unable to suffer, then he became capable of suffering through the incarnation. He was immortal, then he took on mortality. He was life, and he became subject to corruption. He did all of these things. He became the last and the least of all. And he descended even into Hades, even into hell. He took upon himself all of the sins of each and every one of us. Even in 2 Corinthians, St. Paul writes, God made him who knew no sin, Christ, to become sin in our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. And sisters, if there is going to be any change, any transformation, any resurrection in our life, we have to see our fallenness. We have to see our shortcomings. We have to see our corruption and our death. We want to identify that within ourselves so that it could be healed, so it could be restored, so we could be raised to newness of life. Christ gives us that model for these 40 days and for our whole life. Humility. Self-abasement. Descent. Last Sunday we spoke about ascent, right? The way to ascend is first to descend. Because when we descend, when we humble ourselves, God lifts us up, raises us up. Brothers and sisters, we have a beautiful opportunity to engage in the life of Christ as Christians have done for 2,000 years. Let us not neglect the 40 days. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Jesus Christ.